Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. This is one of your Friday night hosts, 6:30, keeping it real, the three apostles. If you tune in, we know you're going to be blessed. Tonight, we're going to be addressing the topic of prayer and fasting and how it is applied to our daily living, our daily decision-making, and when and why it was became a part. And there's Apostle Miller waiting on Apostle McIntyre.
Hello.
Oh, that's Apostle McIntyre, not Apostle Miller.
Hello, Apostle Armstrong.
Yes,
how
ma'am.
Are
how are you this? I am fantastic.
I'm supernaturally wonderful myself. Good to hear your
well,
voice.
Good. Well, same here. And I assume you got my text.
Yes, sir. I did.
Yeah. We're going to pray whenever Apostle Miller arrives.
Okay.
And we should may have two guests. One would be the person that called me and that was talking about it in relation to one of her grandniece. And that's how I got the topic. And the whole fasting and prayer. And you just made it clear that sometimes it takes both. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Well, since Apostle Miller hasn't arrived just yet, you want us to let's pray?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
All right. Almighty Everlasting Creator, we come to you saying, good evening. We humble ourselves before you in this time, in this hour. We are your spokesperson, and we are the ones that people come to. Well, not all. Some people come to us with their situation, seeking solutions to their problems. And, oh God, this program, this ministry tonight, had to do with two phone calls that I got this week dealing with our children and how they have been impacted by evil spirits. That's the way they put it to me. And we searched the Word, and the Word made it clear that sometimes it takes fasting and prayer in order to remove those demons that have taken possession of us. And, oh God, we just thank you. We just take the power and authority over the airwaves, and that as your word go forth around the earth, that people may come into understanding and they may see that they have power from Luke 10:18, 19, and 20. And they shouldn't forget 20, because 20 says that we rejoice because you, our name is written in heaven, and we thank you. Now, God, let your Holy Spirit touch us. Let your Spirit reveal the truth to us in a way that if it goes out of the airwaves, it will touch the ears of the hearers and open their ears and open their eyes that they may want to, and they want to dig deeper into your word and see how that applies to them. Holy Spirit, just fall afresh on us here tonight, because what we're dealing with, the enemy doesn't want us to deal with. we are dealing with is what your word says to us, that we are speaking truth according to your word. In the name of your beloved son, amen, amen. Well, fasting and prayer. And a lot of times we just feel that we can pray and that's all we have to do. But the scripture is clear that we need to pray and fast at times. And the scripture that the person referred to me, that they felt held the solution, that they were able to achieve the solution. And I was trying to make sure that, and that's the devil already working overtime, but there is no room for him. Mark chapter 9, verse 17 through 29. That's a scripture that the aunt gave, but aunt understood. And she was saying, I think it's verse 29, where Jesus made it clear that sometimes it takes both prayer and fasting in order to move that demon. And as we think about it, why would the disciples have to now fast whenever they have successfully defeated and removed the devils or demons as they went out, but they bumped into this one person whose father said that his son, and he could not, they cannot do anything. Now, when we think about it, one of the things we have to think about these things. And when we think about it, we then come into another level of understanding. We could have just prayed and walked away. But we have to ask, what was Jesus' purpose, or what was God's purpose in causing them not to be able to remove demons, the devils, or whatever evil spirits that they named them? Was it that they got too comfortable in themselves and their little pride start rising up? Oh, look what we've done. You know how some of us behave. Oh, we was able to. Oh, man, that was a big one. Ooh. Was it, wonder if that was what was happening and God needed to humble them and tell them, okay, you need to fast now. And to me, what does fasting do? Fasting humbles you. Fasting sits there with you. I know I've been going through one. And the enemy jumps all over you. Oh, you hungry. Oh, you can't wait. Oh, you'll be glad whenever your time will be up. All of those thoughts ran through my mind as I was fasting and praying. And that was the enemy. The enemy. And so many times we don't understand who the enemy is. And the enemy become us at times. Because when we start listening to it and start believing it, then we become our own worst enemy. And that's what I went through whenever they told me I could leave the hospital. long as I was in the hospital, I was comfortable because people in there had illness, some were worse than me, and we all were comfortable. But to have to go into a world where there were two-handed people and I only had one, and here come the enemy, come telling me that I should feel sorry for myself. And I just think about there was somebody there, somebody that stood in the gap for me, somebody that refused to allow me to have a pity party. And that's how easy it is to get out of sync with the word. And I can imagine that some of those apostles or disciples, that might have happened to them. Well, I don't know. That demon, he's just too much for us to handle. Oh, woe is me. Oh, I can't do that. Once you start thinking like that, you defeated yourself. You're right. You can't. So, comments.
When you sent it out, I got my Bible and began to read this, and I've studied this several times and researched it and looked it up. And the interesting thing about this is, first of all, the disciples were amazed or shocked or whatever that they were not able to cast out this spirit. And as you previously said, mm-hmm. Apostle, they had been able to do that before.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they had not been able to do that before, and if they had not had success in doing that, then this would have been this was like several other times that we tried to cast out an evil spirit or whatever, and it didn't happen. So first of all, it just comes to mind that they knew it was supposed to come out because God had given them power and authority over the enemy, and they had seen a lot of enemies come out. And when you remember when they got along with God, they asked him, well, first of all, when the man's child, in verse 22, he began to tell him how, you know, what happens to the child and how oftentimes it comes. And what he told Jesus was, he said, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus puts the question back to him. He said, you notice he didn't say, well, try to explain he could do. No, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So the child's father said, Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now, I've studied this and everything, and the understanding that the Holy Spirit has given me is that when he told him in verse 29, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. The Holy Spirit has told me it was not speaking of that spirit. It was speaking of that kind of unbelief. They allowed what they saw with their eyes to move them. Because the word of Jesus will take any spirit out. But like you said, sometimes when we don't give ourselves over to prayer, we're not prepared. And if we're not prepared and something comes up and it looks like, and even with us, sometimes some things just look like, we know that it's not, but sometimes it looks like, oh my goodness, this looks like it's even too big for God. Well, the thing is unbelief. They had faith, but they also had unbelief. They allowed what they saw in this instance, I don't know why. I can't tell you that. I don't know that. I don't know why in this instance, because I'm sure they saw other things when they dealt with demonic spirits, but it was something about this time when they saw the demons throw the boy and convulse him and tear him. It's something about that pulled them over into unbelief. You know, sometimes when you read command a spirit to come out and whatever, and when early on learning and coming up, you know, they say, oh, you don't want to be in a room where they're casting out spirits and stuff because they could enter into you. You know, put a lot of fear with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe, because when he was telling, when they asked him why could they not do it, they said, why could, because look, you've already given us the power. You've given us the authority. And in his instructions to them, he didn't tell them there's going to be certain kind of devils that you're going to have to do this and certain kind of devils you're going to have to do that. So he was telling them that you have allowed yourself to be moved by what you see. And that unbelief is impossible, because, see, Jesus had absolutely zero unbelief. Zero. That's
right.
Why there was never any opposition to what he prayed. But we can have unbelief. We can have faith in our hearts and still deal with unbelief. You know, it's like unbelief is like you've got two big Clydesdale horses. And you got one on this end and one on the other end. And instead of pulling together, they're pulling in opposite directions. They're equal weight and everything. So one cancels out the other. So if we have unbelief, and unbelief, we doubt, be moved by what we see. Because, you know, as humans in our humanity, because we're spirit, but in our humanity, we've been all our lives governed by what we could see, feel, taste, touch. So it's something about the way they saw, and I'm not going to act like I'm super smart and I know, because I don't, but it was something they saw caused them to get into unbelief. Do you notice when Jesus asked the Father, when the Father came to him and asked him if he could do anything, in verse 20, when he was brought him to Jesus, and when he brought him, and when Jesus asked him, you know, he said, oh, faithless generation, how long, 19, how long shall I be with you? And faithless simply means unbelief. I mean, you've got some unbelief going there. It doesn't mean you don't have any faith, because all born-again people have a measure of faith. But he said, you've allowed unbelief to come in here. So when they bore him, and when he saw him, straightway 20, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father. Now you notice that Jesus did not react to when that spirit threw that boy on the ground. He turned to the father. He said, how long this been going on? And the father's standing there explaining, well, that demon is convulsing him, you know, wallowing, he's foaming at the mouth. Jesus pays no attention to that outward display.
I believe
the disciples, I believe that's what moved them into unbelief, where they were not able, or they saw it as too, I don't know if they saw it as too powerful, or it just really worked on their five senses. But Jesus, you notice Jesus paid it absolutely no attention. When he threw him down, he just turned to the Father and he said, how long this been going on? That amazes me. And the Father began to tell him how long it's been going on. And then he tell him, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, it's not on me. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe that I'm stronger than what you're seeing, it's possible. So he was really dealing with that spirit of unbelief rather than a certain type of demon. That's my understanding.
Okay, we're on the same page. You call it unbelief and I call it fear. They look fear
okay,
and
yep.
pride. They look
That's right.
and what they saw became more
yes.
important than what they the spirit that they had in them, the command that they have been given, the power and authority that they have been given to do what it is that they've both been doing. And sometimes we do allow that doubt or that fear, because when we deal with the five senses, that fear comes in, and the fear produces doubt. And now the thing that I'm looking at now is these young people, especially my grandniece, her environment doesn't support the power and authority of the divine, because that's not part of their culture. And when I say part of their culture, that's exactly what I mean. They are not in the church. She doesn't see that. And she's like hope. She had nothing to hope for. This is my friend. My whole world is coming down around my head right now. And I go back to like maybe her and her friend, maybe that friend of hers was the one that kept her connected to reality. And she saw that friend react the way she did because her mother had died. So then that doubt came in. Well, wow. I didn't think, wow, I put my faith into her, and I was looking at her because my situation is bad. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how Apostle Miller, how he mentioned earlier about the mind, about the thoughts that Satan puts in your mind. And the thoughts that Satan put in my niece's mind, that was, that caused her to lose hope. Oh.
Yes, sir.
Because her friend wanted to commit suicide, so she wanted to commit suicide. Go ahead.
You know, there too again, I want to kind of, in Mark, and you know what you were talking about, and I went back and looked up the scripture too. How are you doing this evening, Apostle McIntyre?
Hello, Apostle Miller.
But anyway, when I went back, when you go to in Mark, it tells us, I think it's in Mark, that third chapter, and it tell you that 13th verse, when he called, he appointed the 12, and he gave them, like you said, the authority in Mark, the third chapter. And that 15th verse, it said to have power to heal sick and to cast out devils. Now, like y'all said, he gave them that authority to do it. And I agree with you all. Somehow between Mark the third and Mark when they got to the ninth chapter, that caused them not to do it. But I also want to say this in Matthew the sixth chapter, praying and fasting should be a part of a Christian life. It should be part of our lifestyle, you know, because when you study the Bible, all through the Bible, you see how even in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, how they from time to time, they prayed and fast. You know, fasting don't change God, but what fasting does, it causes our flesh to come under total subjection to the Trinity. And it strengthens us. It helps strengthen our faith as well. And that's why I said when you go and look at Matthew, the sixth chapter, it talk about giving to the needy. It talk about prayer. Then it talk about fasting. And it talk about not worrying. And it talk about stirring up your treasure. So fasting should be a part of our lifestyle. And like I said, when you go back and look at it, all through the Bible, it talk about fasting. It like I said, it talk about it in Acts. It even talked about before Jesus even started his ministry, how Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness. Now, yes, he was led in there to be tempted, mm-hmm. but he also was fasting as well.
Fasting.
So,
yeah.
You know, we live in a time now, some people, they don't have a problem praying, but they have a problem with fasting. And my point is just saying, I hear Apostle McIntyre made the point, too. Jesus was addressing their unbelief. I agree he was addressing their unbelief when he talked about fasting, because fasting and praying, it will do away with your unbelief. It'll do away with fear.
Mm-hmm.
It'll do away with those things that hindering and blocking your faith from being affected. It'll cause you to get your mind on the Lord and on what the Word said. It'll cause you to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. And that way you won't be yielding to doubt and unbelief. You know, so there too again, fasting have its benefits too, you know, because like I said, in Mark, the third chapter, he told them, he gave them up when he chose the 12, he said appointed the 12, he gave them power to cast out devils, you know, and stuff. But like I said, somewhere between that third chapter and that ninth chapter, they allow unbelief, doubt, and fear to get in there. And yeah. You know, it just like with us as born-again believers, we find out, even though according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter, the Bible said these signs will follow them that believe. Now, we have the authority in Jesus' name to lay hand on the sick, and the Bible said they shall recover. It tells us that we can cast out devils. We can speak in new tongues. It tells us that we can do that. But there, too, again, we have to really watch unbelief and doubt. Because I truly believe that the enemy go to extreme measure to bring doubt and unbelief to all of us based upon what we see and what people are doing. Because when I studied the four gospels, we got to realize, too, now, in the four gospels, the New Testament had not been written. So the people back then, in the beginning, they faith was based upon what they heard about Jesus and what they seen Jesus do. That's one of the mm-hmm. reasons why I believe God allowed Jesus. He said the word dwell among us and it became flesh. Because at that point, they didn't know nothing about having faith and Jesus. Yeah, a lot of them, they know what the Old Testament, what the prophet said about Jesus. But some of them even were kind of mixed up with how he was going to come. And some of them wasn't. But these people, that you were dealing with a bunch of people, their faith was in what they heard about Jesus and what they saw Jesus did. And like I said, even with them disciples, I'm sure, and I agree with you, something, I'm being a little repetitious, something happened between Mark 3 and Mark 9 that caused them, and I believe when he would talk about fasting, that, you know, by fasting and praying, I believe he was telling them, not only would it help them to cast out demons, but it would strengthen their faith that they would be able to have enough faith to do so.
Yes. I see we have a person that called in. Your mic is open. Would you like to make a comment based on what you've heard?
This is Pastor Connie Smith. I just won't be on for a minute, but this is just so revelation, so much revelation. And I see why Jesus said this kind of goes out not by fasting, because when you fast, it is like you already said, it humbles yourself before God, and it real fast and takes you to a place where, like you said, you're not dependent on what you see, what you feel, or any of that. You're dependent on God, God's power, and God's power alone, and you begin to, you know, rise to another dimension that shows you that it's all about God and what God can do, and not, like you said, not like what we see. And fasting, when we afflict our body, when we understand that it's not by bread alone, it's not by any human effort, it's about God only. And fasting kind of can take you to that place. And I like to look at the word knowledge, like what you know, and then when you really get it in your spirit, it's like K-N-O-W, then it's L-E-D-G-E takes you on a ledge, and then E-D-G-E, it takes you on the edge. And, you know, our faith has to get to the point where it's shown up deep in God, and it's beyond what the human mind, body, soul can grab hold of. It's what the Holy Ghost can show us. And the power comes in the Spirit, which drives out all those demonic things. Whereas whether they saw the guy, you know, forming or doing stuff, whether you the devil's playing with your mind, fasting takes us to that place in God where our faith is just it's exploded with Holy Ghost knowledge, power, light, and not our own thing. So I like what you said, that you know, something happened, and then the disciples were learning who Jesus is. They were learning the power of God. And when he died, we don't record and we don't see where they were afraid at all or looking at anything that they saw, because they understood the raw power that God has given them. You know, resurrection power that God has given them, Holy Ghost power that came in them, which transcends so much that we see. That's all I wanted to say.
So what we he's saying is that we who are believers, we who have been chosen by God, we need to step up to the plate and begin to intercede more for our youth. And we don't necessarily have to wait until you get a phone call, like I got a phone call. You know, what I was hearing, so far, I should have been praying for my niece and the rest of my relatives that was out there all along, as opposed to waiting to you get a phone call. Now you're going to react to something that you could have been proactive about all along. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to me as a result of listening to the discussion thus far. And that whenever we don't pray the solution, we are part of the problem. It's also what he told me when I was here, that I am part of the problem that my niece and my sister and my grandniece is going through. And I'm not saying now that I wasn't praying for them or I wasn't praying hard enough. I'm just saying that because I know I was not. And it did not come as a shock to me whenever I heard what was going on. And even then, now I'm being chastised for not responding in a way that God would want me to respond through faith. I responded based on what I saw and what I knew that was taking place in the natural.
You know, Apostle, there too again, according to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and I don't know about nobody else, but right after I got saved, the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me who I was in Christ. Then he began to reveal to me that I was a spirit being, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Paul said this, and Paul talked more about the spirit realm than any of them, other than Jesus. Paul was constantly talking about the spirit realm, because he was saying, though you walk in the flesh, you don't walk after the flesh. Then he began to tell them, he said, that we need do not be conformed to this world, but we have to renew our mind. Then he telling me, Ephesians, you ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. And I think a lot of time, that's why when we get, once we get in the Word, as you know, the Bible said, according to Hosea 4:6, we're perished because of lack of knowledge. You know, a lot of
right.
people say, well, I don't talk about the devil. But there's something, we don't talk about the devil to magnify him, but we talk about it because anytime you have an enemy, you need a strategy. And
mm-hmm.
and Paul even said God would not have us to be ignorant of Satan's device. And at that time, he was dressing unforgiveness. No, God want us to know because he tell us neither give place to the devil. Now, if you don't know who your enemy is, what you gonna know how to deal with it? He said, neither give place to the devil. Then Apostle Peter said, that, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary goes about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Well, if we want to know who Satan is, when we get in God's word and read God's word, read the four gospels, even read the epistles and all that, it revealed to us this invisible being that he can influence us. You know, and the
mm-hmm.
enemy, you know, like I said, because I'm a spirit, therefore I can coexist with any spirit, with God's spirit and Satan. God is a spirit, just like Satan is a spirit. And God speak to us just like Satan to speak to us, just like our flesh. But the Bible, according to Hebrews, the Bible tells the word of God help us to rightly divide, but it to discern. It help us to be able to rightly divide and discern so we'll know which voice is speaking. And I'm telling you, a lot of people, you can be, and I didn't know this till the Holy Spirit began to revelate this to me. We can be influenced by demons unaware of it. Remember in the scripture when Jesus asked the disciple who he was and couldn't nobody, make a long story short, couldn't nobody tell him but Peter. Peter said, thou the Christ. And Jesus complimented him,
mm-hmm.
said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you. But then right after the Lord had revealed to Peter who Jesus was, and Jesus began to talk about some things that were going to happen to him in a few days. What happened? Peter began to pull him aside and really he rebuked Jesus, said this stuff wasn't going to happen. But Jesus turned, being able to discern and recognize, now God spoke to you and my father spoke to you, revealed to you who I was, and you done turn around and let the enemy come in. He turned to Peter and he said, Satan, get behind me. Well, my point is this.
Mm-hmm.
When we in the Word and studying God's Word like we supposed to, and like I said, I believe that fast is supposed to be a part of our lifestyle just like prayer. But when we add fast into our praying, it causes us to be more sensitive to the Spirit. Because a lot of times, when you go through the four Gospels, Jesus was able to discern what spirit that was influencing people. Remember the woman that had been bowed down all those years? He said, "Oh, not this woman be loose who Satan done bind all of these years." He was able to discern when Satan had a part in their illness and when he didn't have a part in it. Well, because we are believers, his God will, and we have access to be able to know the same thing. God will have us. We need to be able to discern when somebody being influenced by a demon. Because we can, like I said, all of us can be influenced by it. But the word helps us to be able to discern when it's God and when it's not God, when it's Satan. And that's so important because I find out, I done experienced this myself. I remember one time I went to somebody's house to witness to him. And every time I was trying to talk to this woman, how she was husband, she was interrupted. Oh, he doesn't need this. And you know, I didn't think nothing about it. I looked at it from the natural. I didn't allow myself to be tuned into the spirit. But make a long story short, when I got home, that's when the Holy Spirit, he said, that was she was being influenced by a demon to speak. He said, you supposed to take authority. He said, from now on out, when you go to witness to somebody, you know, stay open and so I can reveal to you and let you know what you're dealing with. Where the Bible said, how can one enter a strong man's house except he first bind the strong man? But sometimes we just take things like that for granted. We take it lightly. You know, oh, ain't no, you know, it's all them. Or it's all God speaking. And sometimes it's not. So what I'm really saying, we have to be aware of our enemy. We God want us to be able to discern when the enemy is influencing people when he's not. And I think that is so important because I had to learn that. And that's why it's so important that we need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I hear the young lady was saying about even when you notice after them disciples came out the upper room after they received the Holy Ghost, guess what? They was being able to be more sensitive. You didn't see nowhere but where they was intimidated anymore, but you seen where they operate in their authority. Now, when they got beaten and asked, the Bible tell us that they came back and they rejoiced about it, but they asked God to grant them more boldness and stuff. But my point is this here, we should be able, and it's God's will for us to be able to discern when we or somebody being influenced by a demon. That is so important. And I think sometimes people miss out on that. Even with some of our loved ones, sometimes it's not being able to discern if they loved one being influenced by a demon, if they being influenced, you know. And I had to learn the difference. And I had to learn that because sometimes demon was influencing me, bringing depression, causing me to be stressed, causing doubt and unbelief. I had to learn that because I didn't realize that I can be influenced by a demon. I did. And you got some people today, they don't believe that. They believe that, you know, that yeah. they can't be influenced by a demon. They believe that saints can't be influenced. Yes, saints can be influenced by a demon. All of us, as I stated, because we are spirit beings.
Yeah. One thing that when I was a police chaplain there in Baltimore for 15 years, and whenever I was called out and had to go out, I always prayed. Because as I prayed, I asked God, the Holy Spirit, to go ahead of me. And lots of times when I would arrive on the scene, I wouldn't have to say or do anything. God would have, through the Holy Spirit, would have already worked things out. And my presence was all that was necessary. And that included people who had used their weapons to take a life and officers. I could sit with them and not be judgmental. I could sit with them and do what God put me in the police department to do, was to provide spiritual guidance and direction to the officers and their families. And, you know, and I have been able to go in the situation where I just saw how evil. And that if I hadn't been prayed up, all those evil forces that was there that created that scene, they were still around there. But because I was prayed up and asked God to send the Holy Spirit ahead of me and realized that I was only doing what God called me to do in that department. And I'm disagreeing with you. That's absolutely true.
Also, would like to say in terms of your niece, like I thank God for putting us in families, and I thank God for putting us in families because usually in every family there is a spiritual authority, spiritual head. Mostly, we thank God if everybody in the family is, you know, loves the Lord and saved and walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. But He put us in families because we are called to cover our families. The enemy is going to be here until Jesus deals with him, but we're called to cover our families. I cover my family, you cover your family, and, you know, if God so gives somebody a word, how's your niece or how's your sister, whatever, then we thank God for a spirit of prophecy because he said he wished all believers to have that spirit of prophecy. But as we cover our families, those of us who know God, we know that things are going to happen, but it might not happen as bad as it would because we, as spiritual authority, cover our families in prayer, in intercessory prayer, and God watches over them. And so even though your niece did that, I mean, I know you, like, you pray for your family, and she didn't succeed in committing suicide, right?
Right. She didn't.
Right.
They sent her to a crisis center.
Right. Prayer coverage. And then once we get on the scene, because like you say, when you were in the police chaplain, great is he that's in us and he is in the world. Once we arrive
that's
with
right.
the power of Jesus on a scene, in a situation, you know, whether it's physically or somebody asks us to pray for them, now we are bringing in the power of God, and we just look for the solution, not so much as the tragedy, but, okay, God, what to do about this next?
Well, I have a request. I also have a request. I have it's my niece's daughter's child. And that would be my great niece. I think she's like 11 years old. And this has been going on for I don't know how many years now, when the pandemic hadn't been too long, came out, and it was real bad at the time. And my niece's daughter, she called me and she wanted to know if she could come over for me to pray for her daughter, and that would have been my great, great niece. So she acts up and she just lashes out, and she's just out of control, and it had never came to me before. And they can't do anything with her, but as one day this week she came on my mind, and it came to me as a spirit. It's a spirit in her that causes her to lash out the way she does. She loses control, and they can't. She disrupts the family so bad, and they cannot do anything with it. And it comes to me that it's a spirit in her that does that, and that's a demon. That's what it is, and they can't control it. And her mom, I think she's taking her to a counselor, and then I think now she's taking her to another counselor. And it came to me that when even the scripture that is in Mark 9, where the man wanted the disciples to help his son, and then they couldn't help his son, and so he came to Jesus, and Jesus asked the father, said, "How long has this been going on?" He said, "From a child." So it would cast him into the fire, and then it cast him into the water to destroy him. And Jesus cast it out of him, and they thought he was dead, but he wasn't. Jesus cast it, and he said, "These things come on about fasting and praying." And that's what's going on with this child. They cannot control her when this happens. And I was talking to my sister, she's assistant pastor, and we were talking about it, and I wanted to talk to her mother, my niece, great niece, about it. And I talked to my pastor today about it, and he said, "Well, I don't know how the parents would feel about that." But see, she's been a single mother for a long time because the daddy's been in prison and all, and she's really mostly raised the children by herself. But she's a good mother, and she loves the Lord, but she's not just steadfast in the church like she should be. And I know I'd need to go through her and talk to her first. But that's what it is. It's the evil spirit in that child that's controlling her when that happens. So she really needs prayer. She needs to be delivered. That's what needs to be. She mm-hmm. needs to be delivered. And I need y'all to help me pray to know how to talk to her mom and not to offend her, So that child needs to be delivered. Because long as that's in her, that spirit is going to control her. And, you know, we don't know what this going to have her to do as she gets older, but she needs to be delivered. And I need to be able to obey God, whatever he tells me to do, to obey God and do what he has me to do, to be a blessing to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know prayer is the key. It's the key. And they do need prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you put it on the table now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll step up. I'll be one that will pray with you so that God will reveal to you how you should handle, well, that situation. And we're standing in the gap for you as you go forth.
Yeah,
anyone else?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, sometime in a situation like that, you could just, as a born-again believer, you can ask the mother, you know, you might not want to say she got a spirit in or something like that. Unless you really get an unction from the Holy Spirit, but say, can I pray for your child? And then when you lay your hands on it, you can begin to rebuke and bind that spirit that is tormenting that child. You know, you can use wisdom on it, you know.
Yeah.
Just tell the mother, you know, I've been praying, and can I pray for her? You know, you ain't got to say, you know, because sometimes when you tell people somebody got a demon in them or even they get offended, you know.
Right.
But you can just use wisdom and say, you know, I'm feeling that I want to pray for your child. Can I pray for her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and take it in the room, even if you have to, and just the Bible says, I can run into a strong man house, except he first bind the strong man, Matthew 12. Bind that strong man. I take authority over the spirit that is tormenting this child. You know, the spirit of rage, whatever, you know, that you see is operating, and bind it and command it to cease in its maneuvering. You know, because you have that authority as a believer, you know.
Yeah.
And the spirit will lead you from there, because Apostle McIntyre, ain't been too long ago, she was dealing with one of her members, and she was saying about the spirit of infirmity. And she said when she started praying for that person with that, the Holy Spirit began to reveal to her what kind of spirit that was operating in this young man. And that's the thing about it. When you start praying, and if you already open to the, he'll let you know what kind of spirit you're dealing with. But we have the authority to bind. And the Bible said whatever we bind, whatever we call unlawful, whatever we forbid on this earth, is already bind, already forbidden in heaven.
That's right.
And you have that authority.
That's right.
And that's something I do a lot of times when somebody in my family reveals something to me about some people in my family, I pray. When I get in their presence sometimes, I say, can I pray for you? You know, I don't even go into no detail of what I'm seeing in the spirit or nothing. But when I start praying for them, ask the Lord lead me, that's when I begin to speak it for them.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Man, I have to get off. I'll take also her name. Also, I'll bring it to my prayer group. And I mean, that's why intercessory prayer is just so very important. Prayer groups are so important, because I know you've seen God answer, God move in a mighty, mighty, mighty way, right? And I know y'all going to call her by name and pray over that spirit and wisdom for you to know how to do it. And I love the way Apostle said that you when you call it by name, spirit of insecurity, spirit of anger, spirit of whatever, they less offensive than say that demon, get out. I mean, you can say that, but you know, when he revealed to you, and the mother will probably agree when this thing, when she gets out of control, spirit of rage, you know, you know, using those specific words and commanding them, like you said, to leave. But intercessory prayer can also do it without, you know, until you get in her presence to lay hands on her.
Praise the Lord.
And then, too, like you said, too, Psalms 107, I think it's Psalm 107 and 20, if I'm not making a mistake, it said Jesus sent the word and healed them. With no distance between prayer. You can send that word. Mm-hmm. You fire torment spirit, that torment, whatever her name is. By the authority in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, I bind you, I cancel your assignment, and I forbid you to torment her any longer. Because there's no dissing in prayer. You can send the words.
Praise God.
Because this is something I learned as an intercessor.
Praise God.
That's something I learned as an intercessor. You can you can speak the word. You can send the word to the end, because it's no distant in prayer.
No distant.
And he said, Isaiah, what is 55? Wherever I send my word, it won't return it to me void, but it will accomplish what I send. So you can just speak that word.
That's right.
Speak the word.
And I'm
call
sure
the name, and it'll go directly to her.
Praise God. It's her Jael. Her name is Jael. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For Jaila?
Jael. Jael. Yeah.
How you spell that?
Yeah. Jael. How you spell it, honey? J-A-Y-A.
J-A-Y-A.
Yes. All right.
Jaila.
And you said Psalms. What would you say? Psalms what?
Psalms 107 and 20, I believe it is.
Seven and 20
and
Isaiah.
Let me go. I want to make sure I'm telling you right, but he sent the word and healed them.
Yes,
Psalms 107 and 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction.
Lord.
Yeah, you can just call a name when you speak it. Call a name, because like I said, it's no distance. Command that spirit to cease by the authority in Jesus' name. I bind you. I forbid you. You know, because a lot of times when people call me about something going on, I just, while we're on the phone, I say, right now, I take authority over this in the name of Jesus. I bind you. You have that authority as a believer. You know, and you know, and even sometimes, you know, I go in your bedroom by you know, in by the spirit and by the authority of Jesus, and I come against that spirit that is tormenting that child. You see, spirit, because they're spirit being, they know when they know who have authority over them, who is not intimidated by them.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. No, God can. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
And whenever you pray, have faith and confidence in your prayer. Whenever you come against it, and if somebody says something, no, that spirit been bind. I done bind that spirit. I done forbid that spirit. I done cancel the sign. And it cannot torment her no more in Jesus' name. You don't have to re-pray it, and you don't have to keep praying. But have faith in your words, what you say.
Glory.
So when I done prayed for people, and they said, well, so-and-so, I said, I said, I done already took authority. I said, that spirit cannot do that no more, because I don't bind it. And you have to stand on that. Don't keep praying the same prayer, because that's down. Don't be moved by what somebody. No, I done already took authority. It's bad.
And you may have to take a day to fast and pray for her.
Praise God. Yes.
Along with whoever else.
Thank God.
Apostle Armstrong, what's your niece's name again? And I'm
praise God, praise God.
Get on. What's her name?
I don't forgot my niece's name, my grandniece. I'm sorry that I said that word.
Well, you find out, because you got to pray with them, right?
I'll find out. As of the night, I will call them. The Holy Spirit told me to give them a call, give my sister a call, and get their phone number and call them. Yeah, I have been negligent. I have to admit that. So.
Yes.
Because I tell people all that you get your house in order before you can go to anybody else's house and try to help them get theirs in order.
Yeah.
And this is one time that I did not see my house as an extension of my family. So now, as a result of the night, the Holy Spirit is leading me to call them and deal with it.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Lord, yes, Lord.
That's the way God worked with all of us, right? We
that's right.
Help one another.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Lord,
I got to get on the call with my niece.
Apostle of Love, would you pray us out, please, ma'am?
Okay, I'll pray for this way. Oh, hallelujah.
Heavenly Father,
thank
you so much for being in the midst of us tonight. Yes. Thank you that every prayer, every petition has come to your ears.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost's divine instruction that we could just send the word. Just send the word, and the word will take care. Father, I pray no condemnation on Apostle Armstrong.
No condemnation,
my brother. And I just pray in Jesus' name that this Jaya and your grandniece and all the family members, that those of us stand firm on God. God said that he would save our whole household. We stand on that.
Mm-hmm.
We thank God for it. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. You said no man would perish, but that all would be saved and have eternal life. Yes, you have not changed. Your word have not changed. You've not altered things that have fallen from your lips. We stand tonight on the authority of the word of God. We send the word.
We send the word.
We guard over every demonic force that would try to keep any of our family members out of the kingdom of God. Father, I just bless them. Armstrong, Apostle Miller, and the other two precious ladies on the line. I pray that the blood of Jesus cover you, your household, and that your faith groweth exceedingly. May the God of all peace comfort your heart tonight. Father, we thank you for all those that have been on the line listening, Father. Pray that their faith has been energized. They've been compulsed to another dimension of the Spirit. And God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it all. Thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. Precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
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 Well, we leave expecting a miracle. We leave knowing that the solution, that God has already provided the solution. So we leave giving him, glorifying him for this time and for bringing us here together this time, knowing that his word has gone across the airways. And as it touched us, it has touched others. And therefore, we just say thank you. We give him all the thanks and praise for the vision. We go forth into the world because we are the light. We are the intercessors. And we carry that with us everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, go in peace. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone.
Long.
All right.